everybody. Just wanted to let you know that the following podcast is intended for adults only.
Hello, podcast world. We want to thank you for tuning in to Cages, Sages, Pages, and Rages.
That's what we should do. We should just make all of our episodes titled like funniest cat video ever.
No, man, that's trickery. Plus you can get in trouble for that, you know what I'm saying?
Why? How?
I don't know. Greetings and salutations, fans of the CSPR podcast. You're in the right place. Okay. This is Dan here.
And I'm Adam.
And we are still us. Wow. Okay. Well, everyone hates it anyway, so we're going to move right along. Hey, happy new year to y'all. Got to say, 2021, pretty excited about, I don't know. We'll see what happens as far as change goes. I'm just going to try and be optimistic because, Adam, as you know, just because it goes from being December 2020 to January 2021, life doesn't change necessarily. It's just a day. It's just time going on. Okay.
Well, agree to disagree. I actually woke up and I was like, wait, who's that guy in that mirror? My hair color changed. My body changed. The weather changed. My bank account changed.
No.
My wardrobe changed. Yeah, no, actually nothing is different. But hey, happy new year to ya.
Happy New Year.
Also, Dan, New Year's and birthdays. How do you feel about them? Because for me, it's the same thing. It's like, hey, guys, let's party because we didn't die again. Like,
doesn't warrant celebration as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, you got to follow the majority, bro, because otherwise you're just a little party pooper.
Yeah. Also, if you're one of those people where every time in another place in the world it gets to midnight, you're like, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. That's an excuse to get drunk, probably an alcoholic. So seek help. Okay.
Yeah. In like the same way that people celebrate St. Patrick's Day, regardless of if they're Irish or not, I'm wearing green, so I get to participate. Fuck yourself.
Yeah. Dan, you know what it's called when I dress up like a leprechaun and get really drunk? That's just called a Wednesday for me, dude. I don't need a holiday for that.
And you're out patrolling the streets looking for some Lucky Charms.
Shout out to Kenya. I mean, Ireland. Yeah. Speaking of strolling and also patrolling, what are we talking about today?
Oh, yeah. Right. The reason for our podcast on this episode is to kind of recap at least what was good of 2020, because since we were all glued to the couch, stuck in our homes, did a lot of TV watching. So pretty much we got a couple of different categories to go over. Cages. We're going to go over the top five KOs of the entire year of 2020. And then for pages, we're going to go over the top five things to watch. Okay. Anything, any new movie that has come out in 2020. And then the same thing with stages, which would be the top five stand-up specials. Not in that order, by the way. I'm just referencing the notes. But the order will just have to be a surprise to y'all, because I don't want to say it again.
Fuck yeah. Also, yeah, this is so now we're in the season of top five, top 10 lists. I like top 10 and top five lists. Our last episode was our top 10 Christmas movies, which was actually confusing, Dan, because in the description, I said top five, but then I realized it was each of our top fives. Five plus five is 10. So then I thought maybe we should have just called it a top 10 list. And then I did get an email from one of our listeners. Just kidding. Still haven't gotten it yet. And that would be email would have said, hey, this is kind of fucking confusing. Is it a top five or a top 10? So this
episode, I only had time for the top five. Okay.
Right.
Right. And y'all gave me 10 and I got to miss out because, you know, whatever, I got to work or grandma's house. You make a good point, Adam. So this is technically the top 20 list because for KOs, we're just going over Adam's choices. For stand-ups, we're going over my choices. And then for pages, we each shows are out.
So what Dan's saying is for the year 2020, we have our top 20 if you add all of our tops together. So
there you go. It's perfect. 20? Unintentional, but it works.
Also, hindsight is 2020. That's my time. All right, folks. Thank you.
Thank God that's over. Now get ready to get punched in the dick with the top five KOs.
All right, folks, as Dan mentioned, time to get punched in the dick. But really, there's no punches to any dicks in this segment. However, as you know, I am a huge UFC fan. Dan also, he likes UFC, but he's probably not as obsessed as I am. So I thought, how fun would it be if Dan, instead of me just saying, okay, so these were the stakes for this match, and this is the guy that won, and blah, 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 blah. I thought it would be cool if I would send you the YouTube clips, which he's watched all of. Make sure you listen up very closely if you like to Google these clips. But I thought it'd be dope for Dan just to give his general reaction to all of them. So instead of me being the leader of this section and just telling you what I think, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to it yet, I have UFC recaps out. If you would like to listen to those, that would be dope. Also, if you want to email us to let us know how dope or how not dope they are, at csprpodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, so I guess, Dan, I don't even want to say the matches because I'm most excited not only about all of your awesome reactions, but about how much you're going to struggle with just pronouncing most of these guys' names. Now,
my friends.
He's got it thanks to Hooked on Pahonics, and that's a 1990s joke. All right. Anyway, so
Hooked on Pahonics working for me.
That's so offensive to so many, but I love it. Shout out to Kenya. Anyway, so when it comes to UFC, I had a very tough decision to make, Dan, because there's many aspects of the fight game. I could have picked who are my top five fighters of the year. I could have said top five submissions of the year, but let's be honest. What's the part of the fight game, Dan, that everybody really loves? The KO.
Somebody getting knocked the fuck out.
Exactly. So this is not coming from a place of I like seeing these people, because there actually were a couple knockouts where like people faced some real physical damage afterwards. So we're not trying to glorify the fact that some of these dudes were laid out on stretchers. But let's be honest, when you're talking about UFC, violence is the name of the game. So Dan will hopefully come from a place of, oh, he just got knocked the fuck out. And then I'll just kind of follow in with, I guess, the fight breakdown, maybe what the fight meant, maybe how the form was, or I don't know, dude. Let's just see what happened. So these are Adams with Dan's commentary. Top five KOs of 2020. Dan, pick any one of these to start us off because they are in no particular order, except Dan. I think both of us can agree on which one is number one. And you know which one I'm talking about. So let's save that for last. But the other ones in no particular order because they're all kind of tied for second. Which one you want to talk about?
Well, I'm going to start off with the one that I can most easily pronounce. And that's the Sugar Sean O'Malley versus Eddie Wineland fight.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Is it Suga or Sugar?
You know it's Sugar. Give me some of that Sugar.
No, some of that good, good. Mm-hmm, that sweet tweet. Mm.
Yes. Now, Dan, what do you know about either one of these fighters?
I do know that Eddie Wineland has a I can't stop looking at it handlebar mustache in this particular fight. And it is unruly, but give him props for that. But what the fighters look like doesn't matter at all. So outside of that, not much, really.
All right. Well, then before I come in with my details about this fight, because also, Dan, this was actually one of my favorite ones just because I'm a huge Sugar Sean O'Malley fan. Dan, why don't you play up the fight or if you remember what it looks like and then let us know how you feel about it. Instant reaction.
I was just playing it. Could you hear it?
No.
Okay, good. I muted it. Okay, I'm playing the fight. Couple of string beans here. And, oh, a big miss on that kick. Holy shit. Oh, whoa. Okay, there he goes. And it, Handlebar gets knocked the fuck out, and he is grasping at fairies. Like, oh. And I do love a good knockout where it's so bad that, well, it's not so bad that they go to complete sleep. Like they're out into the deepest realm cycle. Like it's like they get knocked and fall to the floor, but then they're like, no, I can still do it. Like some part of the back of their conscience is still alive, but everything else has malfunctioned and their body doesn't work. So it's just like them on the floor, kind of like dream fighting. Like, I got him. You're like, dude, just the ref's over there. Like, calm down. Hey, you're knocked the fuck out. Like they call the fight and he's like, no, I can still get him. Like you're done. Go to sleep for real now and avoid the embarrassment.
I think that's what they should do. The ref should come equipped with like a sleeping bag. And a pillow. So it's like when someone gets knocked out like that, they're just like, oh, go to sleep, little mustache. You just got knocked the fuck out.
Oh, hold on. Wait for it. Ding. Your warm milk's ready. Here you go, Betty Pies. Sweet dreams. Don't let the bed bugs knock you the fuck out again.
Now, also, Dan, this comes from a place of you and me have no place to talk about how funny it is to get knocked out, right? Because we would easily
absolutely
be KO'd by everybody we're talking about. So we're not trying to make light of the fact. But also, if you must know, Eddie Wineland was fined because about 5 minutes after this knockout, he got up on his own 2 feet. He came to the center of the octagon. They announced the winner, all that shit. But yeah, there's always that moment where, as you said, you can tell inside their mind they want to get up and fight, but the rest of their body got sent straight to hell. Like they're in the shadow realm. They can't do fuck all about it. And they're just sitting there just kind of like, oh, I want to get up so bad. And even the ref is like, no, dude, trust me. You want to stay down.
Right. Or the ref's like, go ahead, try.
Yeah. So
it's not going to happen for at least a couple of minutes until everything. You have to pretty much set the reset button. Like when all of a sudden your computer freezes and you can't do anything about it, you're like, well, I guess I got to hold the power button down until it completely goes off and restart the whole motherfucker over.
That's exactly what it is, man. So I love your reaction. I also love the fact that you did not struggle with their names. I also love
the fact they were the easiest, for sure.
I love how you gave the shout out to the handlebar mustache. But also, Dan, here's the background to this fight. So, Sugar Sean O'Malley, I guess the reason why I love him as a fighter, but also why I love this knockout is, as you noticed, Dan, when he knocked him out, most fighters do a follow-up, right? They knock him down to the ground and they follow up with strikes. How cool and how swift was Sean O'Malley?
I love it.
As soon as he hit him, he just started to strut away. Like he didn't have to go in for the fight. He knew. He just knocked his ass out.
Yeah. And there is one other one. Well, actually, I think there's two others in particular where the same thing happens, where it's like whoever was the person that was doing the knocking, they just know. They landed that punch. I don't know if it's like them seeing the reaction to the person receiving the punch or just like what it felt like to connect fist to skull. Maybe that's enough to be like, oh, yeah, my hand hurts. He's not getting up. I don't need to follow up on that one. He's going Betty Bice.
Yeah, well, and so it's like other team sports, Dan, like when you and me like played basketball or football. Any sport with a whistle, right? They tell you, you play until the whistle. So that's what they teach you for fighting, is that even if you knock a guy down, you have to follow up with head punches. You have to swarm them. It's called ground and pound, which, I mean, you and me know a lot about that ground and pound in different scenarios, huh, buddy? But I'm cutting all that out. Anyway, so they teach you to follow up with strikes until the refs.
Man, wow, worst time for me to take a rip of my vape. Hey, Adam, will you please tell me about what the refs do in SMUEL?
Shout out to Elmer Fudd. Thanks for stopping by, Elmer. God, I'm a fucking idiot. So they teach you to fight until the ref stops the fight. However, some people will look at this and say, actually, Sugar Sean, he didn't follow up with strikes. I like to believe that he knew he knocked him out, but also out of respect to Eddie Wyman. Because let's be honest, Dan, if you knock somebody out and the ref doesn't come in fast enough, you're actually doing more damage to their brain, right? If someone is totally defenseless and you follow up with strikes to the head, that's easy brain damage. So I don't know. Actually, knowing Sugar Sean, he's probably just, he is a little arrogant. He's a little cocky.
And there's something about watching a fight where you're like, ooh, he just received one concussion for the hard blow, and that's 2, 3, 4. Is somebody going to stop? 5, 6? All right, ref, where are you at? How many concussions is this guy going to get before they end this thing. And honestly, that's why I love the ones where the person punching just knows, because first of all, it looks way cooler because it's like, yeah, fuck yeah, that dude's out. I don't even have to do anything. Like, fight's over, time for me to do the celebratory yell or walk away cool. Like, I knew that was going to happen. And when it's the opposite, it's kind of like, it's more cringeworthy, where it's like, okay, he's clearly out. And I know that they're just doing their job and have to follow up because of the whole, like, go until you hear the bell. But sometimes it's just because the ref is on the other end of the ring. And it's like, he can't move fast enough to get to the fighters before there's another two or three punches. And sometimes it's really bad where, like, the head is getting punched by the glove and then bangs into the mat. And it's just like a little ping pong situation. And it's really scary. Wef, please help me, Wef.
Fuck you, by the way. Also, the ref, dude. So in all other team sports, the refs are very hesitant. Like, if there's a fight that breaks out on an NFL football field, they're very hesitant to jump in, right? That's what they have to do as their job every fight. And I've seen so many videos of refs that accidentally get punched by one of the right, because there's a guy, he's fighting for his life. He wants to win the money. He wants to win the belt, whatever. That ref sometimes has to jump right in between those punches and gets hit just to tell the fighter, hey, fight's over. They put their life on the line every time they stop a fight, dude. Every time.
Oh, man. And maybe that is the one element that's missing from UFC is they're actually not fighting for their life. What about taking it to the next step? To the death, literal. Okay. Now that is some good television.
I know we're joking, but dude, you know how many people would actually tune in? Like, they'd be like, no, I don't support death. This is bad.
gladiators.
Yeah. And like, no one supports it, right? They're like, let's boycott this. We can't watch death. And then they're like, we just got the pay-per-view numbers and 60 million people tuned into this. Like,
it's one of those things that you like, I don't want to watch it, but I have to watch it.
Yeah. No, it's weird. I actually feel like a sense of guilt every time that I watch UFC. Cause yeah, it almost is like we're exploiting people getting hurt, but yeah, that's why
it's barbaric, but it is so good.
Yeah. Well, and I have so much respect for the fighters themselves. Cause I do like sports in general, and I loved baseball and football and basketball growing up, but UFC MMA is the only sport where actually hurting the other person, that's what you get points for. Mm-hmm. There's no other sport like that, right? Now, there's people that get hurt, especially in football. They get hurt all the time. And also, tackling is a part of the sport. But the goal is to carry a football over the goal line. Mm. In actual UFC, the goal is I don't get points if I don't knock this mother. Like, I have to hurt the other person. Massive respect to UFC fighters, dude. Anyway, Dan, very
quickly. Well, I just want to touch on that, actually, because you make a good point about, like, that is what you want to watch now if you want to see people fighting. Like, yes, there's been boxing around for forever, but MMA takes it to the next level. People, like, the goal is to knock them out. Most boxing matches don't end in a knockout. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the gloves are fatter. It's a different style. But the point I was going to make is that back in the 90s, they used to let the basketball players fight a little bit. Like, it was good TV. You know what I mean? Like, and now players are, like, you know, getting thrown out of games for shoving a guy. You know, so it's like you just don't see that as much anymore. People got to go to a place where they can see motherfuckers get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here.
I would argue, too, if you want to see some good fights in sports, hockey. You can always go to hockey. Hockey fights are the best.
That is true. They still allow it with hockey. It's definitely part of that sports culture.
Yeah. So just to put a bow on this fight, Sugar Sean O'Malley. So Dan, you said that they were really skinny. They are. This is in the bantam weight class. That's 135 pounds. Now, Sean O'Malley, he's actually pretty tall. I believe he's like 5'10", 5'11", maybe even 6 feet tall. And he's 135 pounds when he weighs in. So yeah, he is fighting down in a weight class that I would say probably doesn't fit his height, but here's what happens in this fight. For those of you that know Sugar Sean, he recently suffered a loss that Marlon Vera took credit for, but also Sugar Sean got injured. So I don't know. We'll talk about that a different time. Sugar Sean O'Malley was on the Contender Series. Then he was undefeated. He's on the rise. This was one of the knockouts where it was like, oh shit, this dude's a fucking contender. Also, his actual knockout, what he does is he fakes an uppercut. He gets Eddie Wineland to actually try and defend that. And then he comes over with the straight punch. That was not the first time he tried that. Dan, if you had seen the rest of the fight, that's probably the third time that Sean had actually tried this combo, which it happened so fast. You kind of have to slow it down to see it, right? But he fakes with an uppercut, fakes with another uppercut, and then comes back with a straight hand. He does it so fast. That's incredibly hard to do, but Sean kept trying it and trying it until he finally got the timing down. And if you never give up on your strategy, this is what happens. But also to Eddie Wineland, if you saw him try to do this twice already, aren't you?
Don't leave your face open, bro. Okay.
Well, it's tough. You should be ready for it, right? But it's also, it worked to perfection because what Sean did with the fake uppercuts is he got Eddie to actually react to those. And then just when he thought there was one more coming, oh, surprise, straight hand.
Hook to the face.
It's not a hook, Dan. Hook.
It comes jab? From the side.
We'll just call it a straight. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever that means. All right, so I'm ready to move on to the next one. Adam, anything else to say?
No, man. Shout out to Sugar Sean. Hopefully he has a better 2021.
Good luck, Sugar. Moving on, I guess.
Wait, hang on. Actually, yes, Dan, did you like his hair? It was a throwback to Dennis Rodman, kind of, you know, like the rainbow, like cornrows. Like, did you like his hair?
Yeah, no, it was legit. It looks tight. Maybe that's to like keep everything more firm up top, take more punches.
Well, he usually rocks an afro, actually, but most fighters don't. Like, if they have long hair, they usually get the braids before a fight.
Is there any regulation on like what your hair can be like, or?
So there's not a rule that says they have to do that. There is, I mean, just out of respect for the other fighter and also just for your own fighting sense, it's very hard to fight with a mop top, right? Because I mean, like in case there's a submission or just all that stuff. So most fighters tend to do something with their hair, but I know it's not a rule. However, you're opponent can actually request that you do something with your hair. Now, you don't have to acquiesce to that, but for Sean and like most fighters, they just do the braids because if they do just have a ponytail or something, that leaves the other fighter something to grab onto.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's still stuff like in football with long dreads and people getting their dreads pulled and shit like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I was just curious. Well, that's very interesting. I'd like to put in a request for you to not have your hair be all up in my face.
When I'm doing what?
When we're doing our ground tickles. I mean, punches, whatever we were saying earlier.
Grounded pound?
Grounded pounds. Can you just put your hair up for our grounded pounds next time?
I hate you so much. All right, Dan, what's the next KO you want to go over?
So I want to go from what I believe was the lightest weight class in the one that we were just going over to the greatest ones with these big old Goliaths. And it's Francis Ngannou versus Jerez Hanho Rosenstruik. Struik. That's right?
Actually, dude, that was a lot better than I thought you were going to do. So it's Francis Ngannou versus Jarzinho Rosenstruik.
The H is more of a Y sounding. Yeah. Jarzinho.
Yeah. But you did pretty good, actually, though. That was a lot better than I thought you were going to do.
Do you think his nickname when he was in grade school was Yo-Yo and he hated it? And then he was like all like became a bully because he's fucking huge.
I hope he hears this podcast, because if you ever saw this guy in person, you would immediately shit your pants.
Yeah, I know. I was one of the first notes that I made. I said, Jarzinho does not give a fuck. Clearly, he just has this deadpan face of being like, when does fight start? Guy, he's picking his ear while he's being introduced. It's like a fucking ogre.
Well, plus, wait, Dan, so before you give me your reaction and also before like you rewatch the fight or whatever, I will tell you. So Francis Ngannou, right, the guy that ends up winning this fight, spoiler alert, literally nobody calls him out. He wins most of his fights by knockouts. And if you watch the fight, right, he's not the most skilled fighter. He doesn't have like the proper form most of the time, but he's so beastly that nobody wants to fuck with him. For whatever reason, Jarzinho was like, I know you've knocked out all these guys in less than a minute, which he has most people. Like, less than a minute, right? He trains for like 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks for about 45 seconds. But for whatever reason, hats off to Jarzinho, because he thought, but I'm a kickboxer. I can withstand his punches. He actually seriously was like, oh, yeah, no, I could definitely beat him. He's the only guy that I've ever seen so far that's like, I could definitely beat confident. Francis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And technically, size-wise, Jairzinho is bigger. Weighs more. He doesn't look as cut or as strong necessarily, but sometimes looks are deceiving. But in this case, yeah, fucked.
Okay, so they are deceiving, but yeah, when you're that big, seriously, I think that Francis Ngannou, he's not the most talented guy, but he is the most terrifying. He is the Mike Tyson of UFC right now. Nobody wants a piece of that dude. Dan, he doesn't, he said this too. So he comes out of Africa. I don't exactly remember the exact country that he comes from, but he forged his muscles from just mining rocks. Like, that's his story. He's not a guy that's like, well, I took a whole bunch of roids and I went to the gym. Like, he's just a guy that just was mining rocks his whole life. Like, dude, he's a badass. But what's funny is that when you talk to him, he's a sweetheart. He's actually a really nice dude. Like, even after he knocks the fuck out of Jairzinho, he like just stands there to check on him. He doesn't.
Yeah, I noticed that. I liked that. I was like, he was like, all right, I just hit this big dude pretty hard. I felt the earthquake that happened when he fell to the ground.
He's
I should make sure that he's all right.
Dude, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually kills somebody one time. Like, seriously, he is a freaking beast. But anyway, Dan, let's go into your thoughts. How do you feel about this fight? Because you don't know really about the fighters' backstories or like.
No, I don't know any about their stats or their backstory. Very interesting in this case about that was Francis's backstory, who developed his muscles through mining rocks.
Yes, and he's also very new to the sport, right? There's a lot of people, like Sugar Sean, for example. He's been doing it since he was 16. There's some people that have been doing MMA. He's very new. I don't know this for sure, but I think he's only been in the sport, like actually training for it, for like 7 years, 8 years?
I mean, definitely enough time to become very good, but like as far as, yeah, starting from when you're in your youth.
Yeah.
And somebody just like approached him while he was smacking the shit out of some rocks and moving them and was like, you know, you look like you could knock some dudes out. How about we sign you?
Yeah.
He's like, sounds better than busting up rocks.
Yeah. Well, he lost when he first came into the sport because he didn't know about just how to do everything. You know, there's a ground game involved because it used to be, okay, we'll get him to the ground. He's obviously a striker, right? Doesn't have a submission game. He doesn't know BJJ. So it really used to be, okay, let's just get him to the ground. But then when he learned not have a ground game, but when he learned, wait, if I can knock people out before they even get a chance to get me to the ground.
Exactly.
He has been on a win streak, and he's been knocking out heavyweights for like the last 5 years. Seriously, dude, as I told you, I kind of wanted Jairzinho to win this. I'm a huge Francis fan, but it's just the fact that for 5 years, everybody's like, I can't fight Francis. I sneezed too hard. And I had like, everybody was like, no, I don't want to fuck with that guy. And then here comes Jairzinho, like, I'll fuck him up. No, you won't, dude.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny how you said that if you saw him in real life, that, you know, you would shit your pants, because I literally in my notes commented being like, the dude is so large. Talk about the most uncomfortable elevator ride ever. I'd just be thinking, I hope he isn't hungry. Because that would be a snack of a morsel for that gargantuan. I was hearing the commentary on the clip that literally just, you know, starts and shows their intros, which is why I thought it was so funny, because he's just standing there like almost waiting for it to be over. You know, most guys get like hype, or they like, you know, once the camera's on them, they start doing the bounce thing or like a stupid little stretch or like turn around with their fist up like, hey, everybody, even when there's no audience. And in this case, fucking Jairzinho is just like, I think I should have pooped before this started. Like, but it said that he had no losses at the time. Is that accurate?
That's right. He was undefeated. I still think he's a heavyweight contender. I still think, you know, there's a lot of damage he could do within that division. But actually, Dan, thanks to this fight, Francis Ngannou, basically people have been waiting for him to get his heavyweight championship belt shot. There was a fight that was between the current champ, Stipe Miocic. He just finished his trilogy with DC. Shout out to DC. He's a future Hall of Famer. But now, Dan, one of the only people to ever beat Francis is the guy who holds the belt right now. His name's Stipe Miocic. So Francis has been aching to get back in the ring with this guy, but he's also one of those fighters. As I said, he started out as a beast, didn't have skill. Now that he's knocking motherfuckers out, even the champ right now has been waiting to sign a contract with him. But honestly, Dana White and the UFC said, look, our next heavyweight championship match is going to be Stipe and Francis. And Stipe is he's stalling as long as he can before he's like, I'm going to get knocked the fuck out by this guy. So Francis is probably one victory away from being the heavyweight champion of the world. Jairzinho, though, guarantee you they will rematch at some point.
Well, I can understand why anyone would want to be avoiding a knockout, especially if they knew it was somewhat inevitable. But don't you still get paid if you lose? I mean, it's still your job, right? So,
yeah, well, and it's, I don't think people like to be known as people that have to pull out of fights, right? This is one of the most machoist sports out there, right? You say any fight, anytime, anywhere. And then people do the whole, yeah, but styles make matchups and I have to be in my best shape. And oh, I can't train because COVID, all this stuff. I get that. But yeah, it's tough though. I actually have no disrespect for people that will take any fight versus anybody else, but they see Francis come up and they're like, I can't do that.
1 second. I have a hangnail.
Yeah.
Just let that heal. How about
I would beg for someone to give me COVID, because if I had to choose between facing Francis versus having COVID, give me the COVID every time, dude.
Probably going to have less side effects after you come out of it.
Yeah. So. But sorry, man. So let's get into the fight. So overall, let's do your thoughts of from start to finish, because the fight lasts all of like 47 seconds or some shit. What are your thoughts about this knockout, dude?
Well, I have it queued up like literally a couple of jabs in before. So I'm just going to remind myself. And this is the slow-mo version. Ooh, so he misses three. Okay, yeah, it's the fourth one that he lands. So it's just like you were describing about Francis and how his style is like just attack. Attack before anyone can either get me to the ground or have a moment to think or be ready. And clearly, Jairzinho was not ready for that. It didn't seem like it. He was like, hey man, slow down. Let's ease into this almost. You know, like, come on, man. Like, you know, it, but then he's just starts falling back. Like, he's literally losing his footing, trying to avoid blows. And Francis gets three huge swings, like full body, full arm swings. And the guy is mostly just upper muscle. Like his rib cage and up is 90% of his body weight. If you've seen the fight or seen this guy, you can tell. So he's just swinging so hard. And that fourth one that lands, he's already like, even if it didn't land, he was going to fall to the ground and just get punched with him standing over. Like, there was no chance, honestly. And I have to eat my words, because in my notes, before I watched the fight, I'm just watching the intro and I'm making notes. And I said, Francis does his little show for the camera. I haven't even watched the recap fight yet. And I already know he's getting knocked the fuck out. Well, Adam, I was wrong. So I have to eat my words. And Jairzinho ate Francis's fist. So fucking A, dude. I thought Jairzinho, I was just making first impression assumptions of being like, who's going to knock Shrek out? This dude is like, why don't you get away from me, donkey? Like, get the fuck out of here. I'm just going to smash you. But yeah, that's most of what my thoughts are. I'm very uneducated in this realm. So why don't you cue me in, Adam, and let me know what you thought about the fight.
Yeah, well, since I watch UFC all the time and I know a lot about it, I actually thought the exact opposite that you did. I would get why seeing their pictures, right? You're like, okay, well, one dude is in way better shape and ripped. But yeah, dude, for sure, the bigger, beefier guy. Because if you see those two fight, like on the street, I'm betting on probably Jairzinho, right? Just from how he looks and how he's always calm. And but yeah, I knew, Dan, when this fight, like as soon as the fight started, like when they said this fight was going to happen, when they announced the fight, I was like, I'm rooting for Jairzinho just because he's the only dude that's ever been like, I'll take him. But everybody knew that as soon as the fight was announced, they're like, oh, Francis is going to beat the fuck out of this guy.
Jairzinho looks like a goon who is part of the evil villains crew in a bad movie. Like, let's say, for the sake of example, John Wick. And John Wick just kicks everybody's ass. And he's like, all right, now I'm going to the boss. But right before you get to the boss, you get this dude that's triple the size of any of the other dudes you fought so far. And you have to kind of look, and there's that moment where he's like, oh, fuck, now I got to beat this dude's ass. And you know the hero's always going to do it, but it's like the first punch to that guy's face. His face doesn't move. And then, like, the hero shaking their hand.
Yep.
The big guy spits out a tooth, smiles with a bloody mouth, and is like, get over here. Time to eat you. Hungry hippos. Like, that's Jarzinho, dude. Like, you're not getting it in on him. I was wrong.
Francis, also pretty beasty, man. Like, I feel like, I mean, like, he's a beast. Like, what? How tall is he? Wait, let me look it up. What, six something?
It says 6'4". At least in the beginning of that video, I can remember that was, I think they're both 6'4", but Francis has a slight, or no, Jarzinho had like a 2-inch reach.
Maybe, but are they both the same height though? Cause
I'm replaying the video and it looks like they're both the same age or maybe 1 year apart. Fuck, it's loading. Sorry.
6'4", 250 is Francis, which, good God, 6'4", 250.
Okay, yeah. Holy shit. Well, here, for the stats for this specific fight, it was Francis 33, Jarzinho 32. They're both 6'4". Mm-hmm. And in this particular fight, Francis was 261.5 pounds, and Jarzinho was 260. And, oh, actually, I misspoke. Francis has an 83-inch reach, where Jarzinho only has 78, which is so weird, because when you see them in real life, it just looks like Jarzinho is bigger. But
I was going to say the reach. Yeah, I actually kind of noticed the reach just because, I mean, still, look, that's not important. Here's what is important. Hats off to Jarzinho, but as you said, Dan, it's really hard to train for a guy like Francis, because Jarzinho, he's a technical striker, right? I actually think it's so awesome that he can be in the heavyweight class, and instead of just being a brawler or just being a wrestler, like, he has a kickboxing background. So he's trained to fight, where he kind of downloads what the other guy's doing, and then he responds, right? He does a leg kick, or he does a kick to the ribs, or a front kick, or he does hooks and jabs. So he's like a technical fighter. Francis is more a guy that's like, I used to break rocks with my hands, so I'm just going to swing until you fall down. So what Jarzinho was doing, he wasn't running away, but his brain was going, oh, fuck, we can't download the information from this guy. You know, we can't say, like, well, when he dips his shoulder this way, we'll do a check hook, or he doesn't bend down too low, or, like, where's his chin? He didn't even have time to assess what Francis was going to do, because Francis, which his fighter nickname, by the way, is the Predator. That's his nickname. As soon as the bell started, he seriously, like, I watched this in slow-mo. If you watch Francis's punches in slow-mo, seriously, there's no structure, there's no form. He just moves forward and does looping overhand punch, just mauling the dude, right? Just, I'm just going to keep swinging. Now, if that last fight we just watched, if any one of those bantamweight guys or skinny dudes would do that, it would just be like, this guy should not even be fighting. Francis, though, is so strong, so beastly, he doesn't even have to really have a fight strategy. His strategy is, any one of my punches is harder than anything you could ever do. So my goal is just to run at you, swarm you with punches until you go night night. Like, that's what he's going to do. And guess what? He will win the heavyweight championship doing that, dude.
Well, it's simple, but clearly very effective. So why not?
Anyway, all right. Sorry, Dan, we got to get this rolling. We still have three more KOs to get through. Obviously, it's like I said, you know which one is number one because we talked about it. And actually, that's the same choice that everybody has picked. But we have two other fights. So which one you want to go through next?
Okay. Let's go with the Cody Garbrandt versus Rafael Assunção.
Pretty close.
It's not, is it?
Well, so yeah, the Cody Garbrandt, which also, this was my favorite knockout just because of how it happened. It was awesome. This is probably the most technically difficult one of how it happens. That's like so rare. But yeah, so it is Cody Garbrandt. But Dan, so the next guy, it's tough to remember these rules because he's actually Brazilian. So in Portuguese, there's like different rules to it. We would say Rafael, starts with an R, but in Portuguese it's Rafael. The R's make an H sound, and his last name is Assunção. Rafael
Asunção. Oh, yeah. So I got that completely wrong. You were just loving it.
I am, actually.
I botched that name. That was so bad. But he gets knocked the fuck out.
But how it happens, though, Dan, that is one of the most, I mean, it's just something that in all of my, I mean, it's not like I've been watching UFC for years and years and years, but when I got into it, you know, I actually went back and started watching right. old fights. So I've watched so much content of it. I've never seen a knockout like this before. Like the timing of it.
And it's at the bell, right? Because this was one of those, and I'm watching the slow-mo of it right now where he's ducked down. And, oh, hold on. Here it is. He like misses. Oh, he gets him in the chest. And oh, the slow-mo is so good on this one because you can see the pace in which
gets him in the chest. Wait, who gets who in the chest? What are you talking about?
I'm saying Rafael
gets
Cody in the chest because it was like they both were, let's say Rafael was maybe like 80% of the way into his punch when Cody was gearing up for his. And Rafael just got him in the his left pec, Cody's left pec. And it didn't faze him. You could see in the slow-mo, like, it's not like, oh, my boob, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, what you see in slow-mo is Rafael's hair going in the other direction, like where gravity was like, this punch hits so hard, my hair is 3 seconds behind my face. Like, dude, it was, yeah. And he went sleepy sleeps right away. But it was also like right at the bell, so there was no need for follow-up punches, which is cool because it's like, oh, almost got saved by the bell. But nice job, Cody, getting it in right before that. Because now you don't have to sit down and get up for another round. You can just go sit down and accept your monies and trophies and all the girls that are going to touch your penis.
Yeah. He's also happily married, by the way. But yeah, man, Rafael was pretty fucked up for a while. Like when they took him back to the stool, he couldn't even stay on the stool for the doctors to check him out. Like he was definitely fucked up for this one. Also, a huge shout out to Cody No Love Garbrandt. I'm a huge Cody Garbrandt fan. I like Cody. Obviously, his two main weapons are speed and power. He punches real hard for somebody. Like, I want to see Cody Garbrandt versus Sugar Sean. That would be a great fight. But yeah, man, for Cody, he's trying to get back into championship contention. He's already been the bantamweight champion.
Sorry, I'm still watching the video, and I'm seeing where they finally get Rafael on the stool, and he's chilling. But then no one's there and he just starts sliding off, like literally, like he almost falls off like completely. Three guys have to come over and be like, oh, 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 hold on.
He was fucked up, man, for sure.
Let's just try to get your equilibrium back, buddy.
Okay? Yeah. But it's just so when Cody does this, if you have a chance to watch the super slow-mo, you totally should, because basically when he ducks down to avoid the punch from Rafael, he does something that I don't know if I could even do ever. It's not the punching part. It's he keeps his eyes on Rafael. So as soon as Cody makes the conscious decision to duck down, he knows what he's going to do. His plan is to duck down, come up, and hit him with the hook. Now, he doesn't know if he's going to knock him out or not. But what's amazing is that he keeps his eye on the target the entire time. So he ducks down and with like in like less than half a second. It's so fast. Right at the buzzer, as you said, they ring the 10-second bell and then they have only 10 seconds right before the fight's over. I think that's why if I had to choose a knockout that was just for the circumstances, like the perfect scenario, this is what you dream of, right? Like it's like hitting a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. It's like hitting that buzzer beating shot to win the championship. It's like scoring the game winning touchdown. It's like right at the buzzer, you do something where you duck down and come up and just knock somebody the fuck out. It was so awesome, dude. I love all these knockouts. I watched all of them live, you know, bought the pay-per-views and this and that. But I think this was the one where I really jumped up off my couch and just went, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Like, dude, I was so pumped about this one.
No, and I like how you were pointing out how Cody never took his eye off the prize. Takes a little bit of from like a golf technique where they always say, Adam, never take your eye off the ball.
Thanks, Tiger
Woods. Except for in this case, the ball is Rafael's face, and it was a hole in one, if I do say so myself.
I never want to talk about UFC with you again, but
me either. I would never want to talk to me about UFC.
We have right. one more fight before we get to the overall consensus number one KO of the year. Dan, mm-hmm. let's see how you say these guys' names.
Oh, it's just getting harder and harder. Khamzat. Khamzat? No. Khamzat Chimaev. Kazmat Chimaev.
Okay.
Versus Gerald Meerschaert. That's definitely not right. Please have it be Meerschaert. Is it Meerschaert?
It actually is Meerschaert, yeah.
It makes me think of a meerkat that wears pants and he sharted himself.
You're so
not
dumb.
UFC related at all. But that's one of my mind views. Okay? I'm going to talk about stand up, man. Let's get this stuff over with. No, I still love it. I still love it. So Gerald Meerschaert
okay.
and Khamzat Chimaev.
Actually, not too bad. So that's another one of those languages. So it's not.
Oh, God.
Basically, the K is silent. It's Khamzat. Chimaev.
Khamaev.
No Chimaev.
Yeah. Oh, there's a Ch. Chimaev.
So actually, you were pretty close, man.
Chimaev.
Not too bad on that one.
Well, the very first thing that I noticed is Chimaev mm-hmm. Has a very iconic facial hair situation going on. But apparently I can't talk about it because it's part of his culture or religion. Why does he look like Abe Lincoln, Adam?
Yeah, I was about to say, we're definitely not going to talk about him being an Abraham Lincoln wannabe. We're definitely not going to talk about how gnarly it looks. We're definitely not going to talk about his cleft palate lip. We're not going to talk about any of those things because we're nice guys.
Oh, man. I'm not even watching an HD quality video, so I completely missed the lip. But now that I'm looking, I can see it.
Yeah, which also that's alleged. Don't even know if he had a cleft palate or not. But yeah, no, Dan, it's this big thing, you know, like it's basically from Russian descent or like, you know, these people, these fighters that are from Russia. Of course, we all know Khabib, who's the number one pound for pound fighter in the world right now. If you come from certain parts of Russia, it just seems like the whole Abe Lincoln beard. I know it has a lot to do with being Muslim, so it is for like religious reasons. Last year at this time, we didn't know who the fuck this guy was. Now he's also notorious for like taking fights on short notice. Like he's a guy that'll like fight and then he'll fight like the next week. So he's a badass. So if he had the beard, if he had the beard, but he was like a terrible fighter, definitely making fun of him. Actually, he's such a beast that I'm like, I'm not going to make fun of his beard at all.
Me either. Actually, and honestly, I admire it because it's not like it's stringy or whatever. It's like a solid beard. He's doing great. And he also has a very well-rehearsed primal yell, got to say, because this is one of those where he lets out a big old yarr, but not like that.
Yarr?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Khamzat Chimaev.
And his best friend, Patrick. No, I just think I'm like queuing it up right now. They're about, he just had it happen doing the replay. Yeah. That's another one where the hair goes back in time and has to catch up to the face. And he goes down. And this is one of those where, Khamzat gets a couple of extra punches in there to make sure the job's done. Clearly it was done from the first one. He was going down. It was a full 1 second.
Yeah. Time. I get it, though. I get it why these guys do that. You know, like I said, they're taught to fight like until the whistle, like until the fight stopped. But yeah, like it was pretty fast and it didn't look like that was going to be that kind of shot that would put somebody's lights out. But he's just so strong, dude.
Yeah. And it looks like Meerschaert already had a black eye when the fight started. Was that from a previous fight?
That's probably from training, like doing live sparring sessions.
God, these guys are so badass. I should never make fun of any of them ever again because per chance they find out who I am, I'm done, dude.
Well, and Dan, this was one of those fights where too, like stylistically, Meerschaert is not known for his striking. He's known for his jiu-jitsu. So we knew going into this that if he had a shot, he would have to take it to the ground. But then Khamzat said, look at my beard. It's time to get weird. And he didn't even let it get down to the ground. Like they just knocked his ass out.
Yeah, it was very quick. Very quick.
The following advertisement is not real. It is for a fake product from a fake company. Enjoy.
Do you ever wish that you could carry the natural, fresh, smelling scent from the bowels of your lover? Or do you enjoy taking a whiff of your own restroom creation? Maybe pulling the blankets over your head to Dutch oven yourself after a swift release? Choose Vartier to be the center of all the attentions. No doubt, when you walk into a room, you'll be the talk of any event, occasion, or social gathering. Granted, it will be shit-talking, but that goes without saying. Fartier brought to you by Not a Real Company.
Our last fight. Now, Dan, this is already, it's gone down in history as the most retweeted and most shared knockout in UFC history, something out of a video game. But before I say what it is, this is the last name where I'm hoping you totally butcher it. How do you think you say these names?
Impa Kazakhstan versus Joaquin Buckley.
Damn it. I was hoping you were going to struggle way more. No, it's yeah. So it's of course
Joaquin.
It's Joaquin Buckley. Pretty easy to say. But The guy that gets knocked out, sadly, and gets sent to hell is Impa Kasanganai.
Kasanganai. Yeah, I would have never got that.
Dan, no. How do you feel about this knockout? Easily, dude, knockout of the year. Like, as soon as it happened.
Without question.
Yeah. As soon as I saw this, there was no debate. I was like, okay, there's been some other great knockouts. But as soon as I watched this happen live, I was like, that's the KO maybe of the decade.
Because it's like three different elements that make it the best, at least for me in this top five list. Because Adam pretty much made a playlist on YouTube, sent it to me, being like, these are my top five. I've seen plenty of knockouts throughout the year, but these were the best of 2020. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just go through them. Without question, this was, like, I didn't even have to ask, definitely the best one. And for me, it was for a couple of reasons. One, Joaquin Buckley, he is not in a great position to do this knockout when he does it, because he's having one of his legs held up. Okay. The knockout happens with a foot to the face.
Mm-hmm.
And all in one fluid, like in the defying gravity air kind of moment. And so I think it was the best one, because not only was it as impressive as how it happened, but the knockout was just as good as any of the other ones, where it was like a one contact to the face, bedtime, good night, you're done.
So this knockout, it has two things going for it. As much as we don't like it when someone gets hurt, as you know, Dan, it not only matters how the knockout is, but also how the person getting knocked out, how they get knocked out. If you're looking for a knockout that shows someone getting sent straight to the shadow realm, watch this KO, because as soon as Impa gets hit, it's not an immediate fall down. It's he gets hit and it's like his body, his eyes roll back in his head. He does like this little Mortal Kombat, like, finish him, flawless victory. He does this little thing where he kind of is frozen for like a couple seconds and then falls down. Like, if you're looking for how you want the victim of a knockout to look, this is it, dude.
Yeah, and it's not like that one moment before he falls down is him still having his step. It was just when he got hit, he was halfway leaning forward, and then the impact to his face started having him lean the other way. So the front half of his body is leaning forward. So it looks like he might fall down forward, but he's already teetering back. So it's just like his body just kind of like... it's almost like a diving board, just mine.
Oh yeah.
Lays back. And it's a terrifying knockout. Honestly, you can't ever be safe against this guy again. Like, what's he going to do? Like, that is, there's a reason why it was the most shared and downloaded, because who does knockouts like that?
Yeah, well, and so that's the other thing. It's like the level of difficulty. Up until this point, I was like, okay, the most difficult KO that I've seen, just based on like how difficult it is to perform, was from Cody Garbrandt, right? Then I saw this, and here's what happened. So that's a typical thing, Dan, like in MMA, they teach you that if someone goes to kick you through the body, you're actually supposed to catch their foot. It's so that they can't do it's basically so that maybe you want to get them down to the ground, or, right? it's an easy way to take away their balance. So they teach you, if someone goes to kick you, now you're actually supposed to kind of lean into the kick just a little bit so your muscles tense up, so you take way less damage, but they also teach you, you probably should catch it. But here's what they don't say. Oh, if you ever catch the kick, there's a like 1 in 10 million chance that the other dude that actually threw that kick could do a spinning back kick right to your face and send you to the shadow realm. That's what happened here. Because if you look at Joaquin Buckley's foot, right? So he throws the kick. It's caught, but then watch the foot that's on the ground. He actually shifts it at an angle so that it's easy for him to just bring it up and mm-hmm. land it to his face.
It's like a pivot. Yeah.
It is a pivot. Exactly, dude. That's something that's like, Dan, we talked about this. Okay. When I first told you about this knockout, it's like the slam dunk contest. Okay. Cause you're a basketball guy. I also love basketball. Not as much as you, but I know you're a basketball guy. What Joaquin Buckley did is the same as if a guy that would do these crazy dunks during the slam dunk contest did it in an actual game.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Like, and it's a fun kick that you can practice, right? You can practice with your coaches. You can do sparring sessions. I'm sure that that's not the first time he's ever done this kick. But he didn't go into this fight saying, I'm going to wait for the moment where I can do this kick from a Street Fighter video game.
Absolutely not. No, that was never part of the game plan.
Like,
and I can see what you're talking about now, too, where Impa, like, he gets that first kick and he catches the foot. And he's mm-hmm. like, okay, got him. And you know he doesn't see the second spinning kick coming. Because he actually is starting to lean forward like he's about to attack
mm-hmm.
before he even gets a chance, other foot in the face.
You know what's crazy, too? So I've watched almost everything the UFC has to put out this year. You know, it seems like there's fights every fucking weekend, right? But what Impa did, he's not wrong, right? For someone that doesn't know that much about UFC, they're going to be like, well, of course that's going to happen. He caught his fucking foot. No, that is ignorance. Actually, Impa did exactly what everybody teaches you to do, right? But Dan, what I noticed is that since this knockout, and it was a big deal, right? You know, like Joaquin Buckley got the performance of the night bonus. It was shared a bunch of times. He got all these radio interviews. Like, he was an unranked fighter that now has so much hype behind him. But since this knockout and since everybody saw it, in every fight since then, no one's catching the leg, dude. And it's because they're worried to be the next Impa Kasanganai. Seriously. Because fighters are still throwing kicks to the ribs, right? That will always be a part of the game. But mm-hmm. I noticed that now everybody, it doesn't matter which weight class, they will go to catch it and they'll just let the heel go because they're like, I don't want to be another meme that's shared, you know, 100 million times or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is a very shareable one for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, Impa.
Is
he's
this
probably
best
still sleeping?
Actually, he, out of all the people that got knocked out, I will say Impa was actually the most respectful, most sportsmanlike. I mean, just he really took all of the fame because he knows he's going to go on an infamy now. This KO will always be a part of UFC packages they share in promotional ways for years to come. Impa is forever ingrained in history as yes. the guy that was sent to hell from that spinning face kick, right? The spinning head kick. But he actually was so respectful that even after the fight, he basically reached out to Joaquin Buckley and said, hey, man, great fight. And like prayers to you and your family. Like, he was so cool about it, dude. No hard feelings, which makes you actually kind of like, all right, well, if there's a way to get sent to hell, that's the way to do it. Like,
absolutely. With dignity, honor, and respect. Also, though, think about the alternative. What are you going to say? Oh, he cheated. Or I was blinking. Like, there's not, you can't. That is like a god fighter versus a regular citizen fighter. Sorry, dude. Just admit when you are below mm-hmm. and take it to the face.
And actually, Impa, he's a good fighter. I think both these guys have a bright future. But yeah, like you said, it's just one of those moments where like you just got caught with something. I will say, Dan, I don't think that Joaquin Buckley's knockout, it's not my favorite of all time, just because this wasn't like a championship fight. You know, there are certain things mm-hmm. where certain knockouts come with certain stakes. None of these knockouts had a championship attached to it. So there are some other knockouts, like even on this list this year, that had more higher stakes attached to it. So I'm not going to say that Joaquin Buckley's knockout is the best ever because it doesn't have too much attached to it. What I will say, it probably has guaranteed him to have a shining career now. Everybody knows his name. But in terms of what I just told you about how now people are not catching kicks, I think this might be the most impactful knockout of all time because it has literally changed the way that the fight game is playing out.
You're not going to see stuff like this very much moving forward.
Right.
I really enjoyed coming along for this ride, man. I appreciate you setting me up for it because I don't by any means dislike the sport or anything. I'm not as deep as involved as a fan as you are, but I still enjoy the sport. So a lot of respect for it, and knockout's definitely my favorite part. So this was fun. Also, me botching the names for your entertainment was, you know, slightly entertaining for me as well. But super hard, man. There's a lot of hard names out there. A lot of silent letters.
There are, but actually, dude, so I think you did way better than me and the WEF thought you were going to do. You did way better. But hey, guys, look, so hopefully you just got a little tingle in your balls from hearing us talk about KOs for some reason. That doesn't really go together. But speaking of getting punched in the dick, my New Year's resolution for all of the UFC fighters out there, hey, let's try not to punch each other in the dick.
Yeah, because that's not cool. Plus, it's in the rules, so...
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Also, side note, Dan, I don't want people to think that we're sexist. I know that we don't have any female knockouts on here, but it's not because I don't think that they matter as much. Because one of my favorite knockouts of all time happens to be by Holly Holm, who head kicked the fuck out of Ronda Rousey. It just so happened this year, though, just the impact and the stakes and honestly, just the pure strength of it. There weren't any notable female knockouts. OK, so don't be emailing us at csprpodcast@gmail.com about how we're sexist because we only did dude fights. Well, we just picked the dude fights because those are the
best. They just so happen to be the best. And correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but are there not way more male fighters than there are female fighters that are signed?
Yeah, there's a bunch more, like a bunch more. It's not even close.
So don't get mad at us, ladies. Just start fighting, you know, even out that difference. And maybe we'll have some more options to choose from. How about that? Just kidding. Love you.
All right. Next, Dan, we're going to go into your top five list of the top five stand-up specials of 2020. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. So as Dan and I were discussing our episode, I didn't mind that we spent an inordinately long time talking about our top five KOs, but actually we only have so much time to record these episodes and we had to depart from our Zoom call. So we have decided that we will still go over Dan's top five stand-up specials, but also we have our top 10 list, five each, just like we did for Christmas, of our things to watch. We have decided to split up our big 2020 in review episode into three different parts. So in case you're listening to this right now and you're saying, wow, I just listened to UFC for a long time, but they still have more lists to get through. We have boiling points, all that stuff. We are not going to do that this episode. Thank you so much for listening once again. And please reach out to us at csprpodcast@gmail.com. Also leave us a positive review on all of your podcast platforms. And lastly, if you like our show, that's awesome. We would love it if you would share it with your friends, share it with whoever you want to. It is an adults only podcast, so please make sure they're 18 years or older. But yeah, let's just try and spread some CSPR love. Thank you for all the loyal listeners. If you're a new listener, welcome to the CSPR family. And it's 2021, so let's all be good to each other. Bye.